John's letter, John's first letter, 1 John chapter 1 to verses, that's chapter 2, verses 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out of the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you, so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Thomas, 1:12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, see my hands. Reach out with your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believes." Jesus performs many of the signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have.
have seen physically, seen the risen Jesus. We can see by everything around us that he is Lord and Savior.
Theme for today is doubting Thomas, and the doubting Thomas is someone who I feel a great deal of affinity with. The person who wants to know, wants to be shown something, wants to see something. I'm sure we've all probably quite a lot like that, that we want to know. That song we just have there. He is love. He has shown us by his life that he is love. He's shown us. And that is what we see. That is how we see, how we come to believe. Because we've seen, because we've heard, because we have experienced something. Just before I get into our thoughts for today, I want to read what is a very famous poem reflection, the poem called Time of Footprints. And for me, that is something that shows me, that God is with us. So we find one night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. He was there. My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I encountered you. God, with us. That song that we opened with, talking about living in unity. That reading from the first letter of John, talking about how we hear about God. That reading from the Gospel of John. That Thomas had, because he had not seen. So we have that verse. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Why is it that we believe anything? Not just in God or the love of Jesus or the power of the Holy Spirit, but why do we believe anything? Over the past year, possibly more than in any time in recent history, until we got to the last couple of days, perhaps we have been bombarded by news, with facts, with information, with all kinds of pieces of detail about a virus that 18 months ago never had been heard of. We have been given all sorts of feelings, ideas, hypotheses. There are those who have gone down the route saying that this is all fake news. This is all a conspiracy theory. The East against the West. China against the world. America standing firm. Brazil denying what has gone on. There was one famous American leader who was well known for saying fake news about anything that he didn't believe in, anything he didn't want to believe in. People say it's not true. Made up for personal or political gain, to promote one idea over another. The disciples were probably in a situation where they didn't know what to believe. They didn't know how to believe. They had been so close with Jesus on every step of the way as he moved endlessly towards Jerusalem. With him on that turbulent journey. That journey was led into Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the cross, to crucifixion and death. And then what? Then what did they expect? What would we have expected? Well, we have the benefit that we have a book, that we can read the last chapters before we read the beginning. That's one thing that my mother often did, that she would often read the last chapter of the book before she started it. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes you think, well, it spoils the story. It spoils the search, the journey, the exploration. It spoils what you want to achieve. And yet for many of us, we like to know that answer. We like to know where we're going before we got there. I'm a great one for looking at maps and wanting to know the direction, know the routes. Now that I've got one of these electronic satellite navigation systems in my car, I do sometimes doubt whether it will actually get me where I want to go, or whether it can take me down a road which is too narrow, a one-way street going the opposite way to which it wants me to go. Sometimes our life might be a little bit like that. We have this sat-nav system which is telling us what to do, and then might say, recalculating, because we've gone the wrong way, taken the wrong turn. But if you look at the story of Thomas, who doubted because he hadn't seen, we can perhaps feel some affinity with him. We know that Jesus overcame that. We know that he rose. And we know that in rising from the dead, he brings a life. But that is because we've been able to read those later chapters, because we've been able to experience that later life. We have the knowledge of how the story unfolds. We know what happens later on. But the disciples, they're in the thick of it. How do they know what to do? How do they know what to expect? Like I said, the story of Thomas is perhaps one of my favourite bits of the story of the death and resurrection and new life of Jesus Christ. Because he was the one who wanted to see. And more than wanted to see, he wanted to touch, to feel. Very often I feel that I'm a bit like Thomas. I want that proof. Perhaps we all feel a little bit like that. We want proof. We don't want to be the one to make a fool of ourselves. We don't want to be the one who's out on a limb doing something very different, unlike what anybody else is doing. We don't want to be the one who's taken in by something that is paving the way untrue, or would appear to be paving the way untrue. We don't want to be duped by that fake news. How do we know whether it is fake news or not? How do we know whether it is true or not? Remember, we believe it because we see it. If we have proof, if we know it is true, it must be true. There's so much that we see. so much that we hear that we don't know whether it might be true or not. 12 months ago, who would have believed that scientific and medical advances would have seen such advances in vaccine technology that over half the population in the UK have been vaccinated against this disease that 18 months ago nobody had heard of? I know for one, I was probably in the doubting camp. Can we believe that they will have a vaccine within the year? Perhaps I was one who said, I will believe it when I see it. Perhaps many of us were. We'll believe it when we see it. We might have hoped, we might have longed for that day. But I will believe. Well, I'm not quite sure. And I'm quite sure that we can all think of those times when we have said, or thought the same about something. I believe it when I see it. I'm very often interested in things like planning applications and schemes at work and things that people want to do to make towns, cities, places different, better. But some of these developments you think, well, I'm leaving when I see it. Skyscrapers being built hundreds of floors high, well, I'm leaving when I see it. People travelling to the moon, I'll believe it when I see it. Those pictures we've seen recently of the explorer on Mars, we'll believe it when we see it. And there are still those who don't believe it just because they see a picture. Those who don't believe the picture. They want to touch, they want to feel, they want to go. Thomas. Thomas, labelled as Doubting Thomas, was the same. The disciples had seen Jesus. Had been with Jesus after he was supposed to be dead, after his life was supposed to come to an end. They'd seen his hands, his side. They had seen him. And they knew that it was really him. They knew that he had fulfilled his promise to overcome them. Thomas, just being told something, just being told about this, was not enough. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Unless. I will not believe it. We all have our doubts. Those things that we find hard to believe. Thomas found it hard to believe that Jesus could have conquered death and returned to life. We perhaps find it difficult to understand how the Holy Spirit works. We perhaps find it difficult, the idea that we have in our belief of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We perhaps find expressing our faith difficult. We may sometimes doubt the very existence of God because of suffering in the world. How can a God who has shown us by his life that he is love allows such dreadful things to happen? And yet we believe. We have faith in Jesus. We have hope in the love of Jesus. We have the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Because we have seen Jesus, we believe. And yet we still have questions. We still have those parts of our faith that bring us doubt. Those parts of our life that we find so hard to follow. We still have our questions. And that is all okay. It's all right to question. It's all right to have those times when we doubt, those times when we are not quite sure, those times when we want to know more. I don't believe in what you might call blind belief, an unquestioning faith. We can quite easily tie ourselves in knots when we try to talk about our faith, when we try to talk about what we believe, when we try to talk about how we believe in a God that lived 2,000 years ago and yet lives today. A God who was a God who was there at the very beginning and will be there at the very end of time. A God who is here with me and yet there with you. We might find it difficult to explain what it is that is at the very centre of our being. But for me, and for many, our Christian faith is a journey. A journey with twists and turns along the road. With that satellite navigation system that may be telling us to recount planets. Maybe telling us to do a U-turn. Maybe telling us that our destination is in reach. Never sure on that journey whether we're going quite the right way or doing quite the right thing. But with the knowledge that God is with us every step of the way. So there might be fake news. We might have our doubts. But above all this, we have our faith. And perhaps the stronger faith comes from wrestling with our doubts, looking at those deep questions of how and why. For each one of us, there is a story. A story of how we have come to this point where we are now, where we are today. That story of good news. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what is our news? What is our story? And how are we taking that story to others? In 1 John we heard that from the beginning we have heard. From the beginning we have seen. We have looked. We have touched. How have you been touched by those people you've met on your journey? going to turn to our prayers. In our prayers, we're going to think of others, for the church, for the world, and think a little bit about those doubts that we have, those questions that we have. So let us pray. Lord God, we come from a world confused about truth. We come with our own uncertainties. Let us bring the darkness of human understanding into the presence of God, who is light. Let us bring the story of our search for truth and share in fellowship the things we have heard and seen and touched. God, whose light shines in the darkness, shine on us today. God, may known to those who met Jesus, touch us through the experiences of our lives. God, who gave Thomas what he asked, give us what we need, that we too may come to believe. Father God, your Son Jesus did not reject Thomas. Help us to value questions and questioners, and not to reject either when they are bold, or discern what kind of evidence is appropriate and trustworthy in different situations, and have the courage ourselves to be questioners and seekers of the truth. So, Lord God, as we seek your truth, we pray for your word. We're conscious that we are but a small part of this vast universe in which we live, and yet which you are in control of. Sort of loss of this time. So many people have experienced loss over the last year or so and not felt that they have been able to grieve and mourn in the way that they perhaps would want to. And yet, Lord, we know that you are with us and with them. You are with everyone in their needs. And So as you pray for those who mourn, you pray too for those who are unwell at this time. Those who are sick, facing the world with fear and confession. Those who are wondering what the future has in store for them. Pray for their journeys of faith, their lives of hope. And we pray to you for ourselves. You know our needs. You know our hopes. You know our fears. You know where we are on this journey of life, which has all those twists and turns. We pray, Lord God, that you will guide us, that we will be able to feel and guide us, directing us, strengthening us. And that you will be for us the light of the world, that light which cannot be put out. Which illuminates our way and guides our paths. So, Father God, we offer these our spoken prayers. But we offer too our silent prayers, those things that are in our hearts and in our minds. So, Lord God, take these our prayers, for we offer them in the name of Jesus, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we're going to conclude this morning's worship with a hymn that speaks of that gospel that we have to proclaim. That word, that message that we have, whether it's a message that we give, like I give a message today, or the message that we give in your life by being who you are, where you are, that we have that gospel to proclaim. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.